the OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Hello there. We've been talking about this evening for a long time, it feels like. It's all about World Cup qualification now. Team News is in. Live commentary of all the build-up to Serbia against the Republic of Ireland is coming your way. Kickoff is at 7.45, 53106, the text number. You'll get us at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie will be along in a few moments' time to run us through all the other news. But Nathan Murphy, who's on commentary alongside Stewie Byrne, the only news right now really is the Irish team. And I think it's blindsided a few of us.
I think it has. I think it's fair to say that
even now she's starting 11 ahead of this first game of the World Cup qualifying.
Well and truly started. Sorry, I think we just had another voice coming in there. But the Stephen Kenny era, he's certainly putting the team he wants out. No Shane Duffy, no Jeff Hendrick in the starting 11. It looks as though Ireland are going to go with three at the back. So Seamus Coleman and Matt Doherty will both start. There's also the likes of Daryl Shea, Jason Malumbi, Aaron Connolly. So a lot of those under 21 players that he knows so well are getting their opportunity in Belgrade tonight. The Irish team then, Mark Travers, we knew was going to start in goals. He wins his third international cap. He has started an international game before against Bulgaria in a friendly, but obviously hasn't played much club football over the past few weeks. The back three will be the captain, Seamus Coleman, who makes his first appearance in a green jersey for 18 months since that red card over in Switzerland. Kieran Clark and Daryl Shea, as expected, also play in the heart of the defence. So no spot for Shane Duffy, dropping out of the starting team for the first time since Euro 2016. Matt Doherty and Enda Stevens will be the two wing-backs. Then we expect it'll be Josh Cullen, Jason Malumbi and Alan Brown in midfield, playing behind a front two of Callum Robinson and Aaron Connolly. And considering the amount of injuries that Stephen Kenny has had coming into this game, that looks on paper to be quite an exciting starting 11.
Yeah, it sure does. So again, for anyone listening on the radio, because I know we're throwing lots of names at you, as Nathan said, big news, no Jeff Hendrick, for instance, no Shane Duffy. Mark Travers in goal, as we expected. The back three is Seamus Coleman, Kieran Clark, who we knew would start, and then Daryl Shea of West Brom is in ahead of Duffy. Our wing-backs, Matt Doherty and Enda Stevens. Matt Doherty thinking to himself, my God, wing-back, I've missed you. I've missed you so much. So he's back in his favourite position, Matt Doherty. Enda Stevens plays a lot of his football, most of his football at wing-back as well. As Nathan said, Malumbi, Jason Malumbi, Josh Cullen, Alan Brown is a midfield three. And then two up front, Aaron Connolly and Callum Robinson. The voice we heard over you, Nathan, by the way, Stephen Kenny, we'll play it now in a second. Stephen Kenny on the pitch here talking to FAI TV. So here's Stephen Kenny talking on the pitch in Belgrade about the game this evening on the team.
Stephen, you've announced you're starting 11 ahead of this first game of the World Cup qualifying campaign. Talk us through your first team of the campaign.
Yeah, I think we're very excited. It's a great opportunity. It's the World Cup and the World Cup qualifiers, and you know it's a very historic stadium here in Belgrade. Obviously, we haven't got the Irish supporters here with us, but we understand the impact football has on the possibilities that exist. If you get a good result, how it can lift people, the impact that it has. You know, we definitely understand that. I think we've got a lot of attacking intent in the team. We've picked a team that's capable of creating chances and scoring goals. And so it's a big challenge, Serbia. Exceptional forward line. We're going to have to defend well when we need to defend. But I believe in the players that we have, and we're looking forward to the game.
Well, good luck, Stephen.
Thank you.
There we are, Stephen Kenny speaking in the last few minutes. Nice evening in Belgrade. It's dry, a little bit on the chilly side, maybe 6-7 degrees, but no great wind. So decent night for football. Stewie Byrne alongside you, Nathan, for the match this evening. Stewie, give us your thoughts on Mark Travers, back three of Coleman, Clark, Daryl O'Shea, with Matt Doherty and Stevens wingbacks, midfield trio of Malumbi, Josh Cullen, Alan Brown, and Aaron Connolly and Callum Robinson as the two.
Hey, Joe. Yeah, I think obviously the goalkeeper kind of picked himself at this stage, didn't he, really, when you consider the other two that were missing. I'm not surprised by the shape. I kind of felt he would go with a possible three at the back, and the fact that Duffy has gone through an awful lot of different things in his life in the last few months. Probably, I think Stephen felt might be best to leave him out. And he also alluded specifically to Daryl O'Shea in that interview. We didn't hear the clip there, but you know, basically said he's playing week in, week out. So you know, the fact that he's even mentioned that would suggest that's the reason why he started, and both himself and Clark actually are playing week in, week out in the Premiership. You know, Stevens, it just no brainer. Cullen obviously coming in, you know, Anderlecht, you probably think that he might be the one player that will sit there, give it that protection, also try and get on the ball and keep us ticking over. And Doherty, you know, well, he's going to play right side, whether it's in a wing back position or right side midfield.
No, it's definitely wing back. We have our sources here. We've been on to people. That is definitely the formation. He's definitely wing back.
Well, that's his role, isn't it? You know, yeah. So like you say, Joe, he'll love that. And he'll also love having the fact that Coleman would be just in behind him, his wingman, one of the best defenders that we know. That will give him comfort as well, so that he won't have to fully focus on the defensive side of stuff, which is where he's been caught out in previous games. Look, the big thing here, I mean, Stephen, you know, what we heard of him there, he's talking about the impact of the Irish football team on the Irish public. I've no doubt about it. That would have been a huge part of his team talk. He always tries to associate the success of a football team with the success of the people. You know, he knows the people are down, we're all down, and he sees this now as being a great opportunity for the football team to lift the Irish people. So he will definitely have spoken to the Irish players about that. Whether we can overcome this heavy weight now that is sitting there about, you know, not winning in seven games, not scoring. Stephen's also been speaking about that in his press conferences. So that the honeymoon period is over. He knows now, because he's talking about it, we need to start scoring goals.
Yeah. Nathan, what you'd have to say about this team is that through Connolly and Robinson in particular, and Alan Brown is full of energy, and you suspect he'll try and get forward as well. There's a damn sight more threat there than the talk of James Collins leading the line on his own, almost.
There sure is. There feels like a lot of energy in that side. A side that can press high when they need to. They can get in the opposition's faces. And Serbia, it looks like, are going to go with a 3 at the back slash a 5 at the back. So it is not going to be a route one game plan here. They'll be looking to get Connolly in behind, no doubt. But there's a lot of players there who can get onto the ball, who can hold possession. And it should all link in. I think the way Stephen Kenny was probably looking at the night in Slovakia and what he wanted, which is Doherty and Stevens making those advanced runs, supporting Robinson and Connolly. Because when Ireland are poor, they don't get men forward. Mm. They don't get men into the final third. Whereas there is a front 5, 6, 7 there of players who just love to get forward. Matt Doherty's at his very best when he's just on that right-hand angle of the penalty area, and he's either making a darting run in, or he's just biding his time to make a late arrival at the back post. So I think we'll see Doherty and Stevens get forward an awful lot. They still need to get the goals, though, and there aren't goals at international level in this team. It's quite remarkable that Kieran Clarke is the only player starting tonight who has scored more than one international goal. So while a lot of it will come on Robinson, who's got one against New Zealand in a friendly, and Connolly, who's yet to score, they also need the midfielders to start chipping in. That's been a huge issue over the last few years, whether it's Robbie Brady or Jeff Hendrick, that those players haven't been contributing goals. We saw that against Slovakia. Conor Hourihan should have scored. Alan Brown should have scored. It was those players making runs from deep that should have taken advantage of those opportunities. So I think we will see an Irish side come to play, come to attack, and to create opportunities. And that looks like a pretty solid defence as well. If they are on the back foot, if Doherty and Stevens have to drop back, Coleman, Clark, and Darrell Shea, who hasn't put a foot wrong. So you can always feel the enthusiasm rising in the hour or so before kickoff, and maybe come crashing down to earth very quickly when the game actually starts. But looking at the Irish starting 11, and also looking at the Serbian starting 11, because looking at their 11, it feels as though they might have one eye on Portugal on Saturday night. So the Frankfurt duo, Filip Kostic and Luka Jovic, they don't start. Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, who has been brilliant for Lazio and has been one of the best young midfielders in Europe in recent seasons, he doesn't start. Dusan Tadic does play, but they're giving a couple of players their debuts here. So it's a new manager, it's a new look Serbian side, and the way they've spoken all week suggests that they feel they're going to win this game and win it comfortably. And the team he has selected, whether there's injury issues, I'm not sure. He certainly never hinted at them. Two or three of the players you would have certainly expected to start and be influential for Serbia aren't going to be on the pitch tonight.
Yeah, what about that, Stu? That's striking, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, Nathan was only telling me that before the game. I was quite surprised that really was. I mean, I know And there was a lot of talk in the build-up to it that the managers ruffled a few feathers, and there's a few things going on, and maybe this is what they were talking about, that he probably wasn't going to start some of what who you consider their better players. But I'll take it, Joe, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I'm hoping that Serbia are coming into this game with a little bit of complacency, may well have looked at our form in the previous 7-8 games and think, you know, I think this could be a walk in the park. Let's hope that's the mindset. I mean, but the reality is that we have to be really, you know, focused on ourselves. And you know, one thing I was going to mention, you know, don't be surprised to see a little bit of innovation tonight, because, you know, we don't have, from what I can see anyway, a real kind of set piece taker. We don't have Duffy. So maybe, you know, corner kicks, free kicks high up. We might try to do, you know, things short, do things quick, see if we can maybe try and get in behind the Serbian. So that may well play into our favour. We've probably been a little bit guilty in the past of utilising Duffy a little bit too much. He's such a powerful figurehead, isn't he, when it comes to set pieces. So opportunity for us to do something different this evening.
I think, Nathan, people are pretty familiar with the members of that defence, given that they're all Premier League footballers, so we're seeing them on a routine basis. So Doherty is wing back, Stevens is wing back, Coleman, Clark and Darragh O'Shea. That midfield three will be interesting. So in Cullen, as Stu said, he's a small, tidy number six, good on the ball, very technical, playing over in Belgium. And then in Malumbi and Brown, Malumbi's all energy, you know, at Preston at the moment. I think it's been a bit disappointing, or he's been a bit disappointing of late, but the manager's been sacked recently, so you mightn't be too inclined to read too much into that, but brings a lot of energy to proceedings and very decent technically as well. And then Brown also, you know, Preston, like an attacking threat. Back when he was winning Player of the Year in 2018, I was reading earlier on today, you know, you remember he scored 8 goals. He was Player of the Year that year. So he has an eye for goal. He has an eye for if it's right to go and get beyond Connolly and Robinson, then he won't be afraid to do that and say to Malumbi and Cullen, you boys sit tight there. And then obviously Connolly and Robinson, we're hoping they'll explode. Like, they are Premier League players. Explode is a bit strong. I would take one going off in after ours. But explode in that sense. So, but in terms of that midfield three, there's a balance there, and they, you know, they all have energy. So you suspect we might see a bit of pressing at times in this game. You would hope Stephen Kenny wants to do that and play on the front foot.
It'll be interesting to see how that midfield three line up, whether it's 2 sixes and an eight or a six and 2 eights. With Cullen will definitely be a six sitting in. So whether Malumbi plays deep and adds another layer of protection, or whether they sort of set him free, because he is quite a wild player who does love to get up and down the pitch, and then allow Alan Brown to be in a similar position, where Brown is more attacking minded. There's no question about that. So when you look at the team, it's quite startling, but it's actually very similar to what most people were predicting, that Shane Duffy would be dropped. The surprise, I think, more so is Hendrick, considering he's been such a mainstay under Stephen Kenny and has generally done quite well. It was always going to be one of Malumbi or Knight, but Brown getting the selection. I think what Alan Brown did off the bench against Slovakia probably had a big impact, and the fact he has been playing football week in, week out. Okay, he got sent off 10 days ago for Preston. But with Callum Robinson not having played in a couple of months, Aaron Connolly carrying an injury, I would say he wants Brown there because he knows he has one player at least who is absolutely flying at club level. So yeah, I think we'll see Brown get forward a lot. Malumbi might be the interesting one. Does he get stuck back having to defend and help out, or can he actually get up and support Robinson and Connolly as well?
I think he probably sits, doesn't he? And Stephen Kenny has moved slightly towards 2 sixes of late. It possibly felt Ireland were a touch open. Why Malumbi, Stu, over Jeff Hendrick in your view?
I just think with the energy, Jeff Hendrick hasn't performed well for us, Joe. He's been poor for us, you know, when you consider the kind of the pedigree of player that we know he can be. I don't think he's really, he's been on it really for Ireland pretty much since 2016.
Am I remembering this wrong? Was he not a bit better for Ireland in the last couple of
games? I thought he was very good tonight in Slovakia, and in a couple of the games after that. You have to write off the game against, he was suspended for that, and the game he got sent off in over in Finland, because Ireland were missing 13, 14 players. In fact, that last game against Bulgaria, there's 10 changes. Darragh O'Shea is the only one who survives. So I think in what was a struggling Irish side, Hendrick actually did okay, but much like Shane Duffy, maybe he's just not playing enough club football.
Yeah, I think that's the key here, you know, and you very rightly so pick out the fact that we've got loads of legs in the team. none more so than Malumbi. I mean, and I don't think he's the kind of player you can kind of say, listen, you just sit in there and you protect that. I think he wants to move. Malumbi's the kind of player who wants to, you nearly almost have to let him off the leash, don't you?
Here, lads, we're not Brazil. Can we not have a few lads sitting there? No. Yeah. We're away in Serbia.
There's a lot of discipline in that. There really is. And some players just are not suited to that kind of role. And I think Malumbi's the kind of player where you say, go and squeeze. He may, you know, Stephen may well have identified one or two players in that Serbian team that might be the creative end, and he might say, go and, you know, go and put pressure on them.
A few texts in. My poor 86-year-old mother's having a terrible dilemma as the match and Emmerdale are on at the same time. They did not plan this out very well, did they? Says Catherine. No, they didn't. Look, there's only one choice, Catherine. I think we know what it's going to be. Martin says, the reality is we're probably not going to qualify for the World Cup, so let's use this campaign to try and build a young side for the future. Well,
don't say that.
We've definitely got youth here. I mean, youth has been given its head here, is for sure. Nathan, one last point to make. I mean, we haven't seen this system employed yet under Stephen Kenny across the eight games. It's not like they've had hours and hours on the training ground together to put this together.
No, but either have Serbia, so they're in a similar situation. And he's fortunate that maybe the players who need to get to know that system are very experienced players. So Matt Doherty and Enda Stevens in the wing-back role know exactly what to do. Seamus Coleman, I think he did play a game this season actually as part of a back three for Everton, but will understand exactly what his role is on the right of a back three. I wouldn't have any major qualms about them not having a lot of time on the training pitch. I think it's a system they should all fit into quite easily. There's no underestimating how important this is. We all expect that Portugal will win this group, and it's between the Republic of Ireland and Serbia to finish second. It's only an eight-game group. If you can come away from here with a positive result, it puts Ireland on the front foot for the rest of this campaign, with Serbia having to play Portugal on Saturday and Ireland at home against Luxembourg. Lose here and Ireland have a mountain to climb. And it's, you talk about Emmerdale against this, it's interesting reading lots of the different previews from around Europe today. All of them expecting a low-scoring game and the word forgettable coming up quite a lot, while we do get excited.
How dare they?
If you're watching from the outside, you're probably looking at these two teams and thinking, are they going to set the world alight tonight?
Just you wait and see. Stewie, give us an early prediction.
Oh, I take it. I take a one-all draw now. A good performance and a one-all draw. I take a goal and get out of here with a point, Joe. I think we're well capable of going and getting a point out of this. I really do. I think we're overestimating Serbia. I really do. I don't think they're as good as what our brains are telling us they are. I think when we may be bringing a little bit of history into this and we're thinking about the Serbian team from, you know, 5, 6, whatever years ago, I don't think they're the same kind of outfit. Things aren't fantastic in that camp either. There's a few things that are off the boil at the moment. I like to look at the team he's picked. I think there's loads of energy in there. I think we're gonna get up, get in their face, and look, a bit of luck and a bit of confidence is a huge thing, and that's what he's good at, Stephen. He's good at instilling confidence in players.
Okay.
And so hopefully, we'll know after the first 5-10 minutes, won't we?
Oh, listen, Stewie, we'll be playing this clip back to you several times over if you've got this wrong. Don't you worry.
Thanks, Joe.
Sit tight, you two. Commentary from Nathan and Stewie very shortly. The news round and Off the Ball News Talk is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made it what matters. Waiting patiently, Richie McCormack to bring us through the afternoon's news. What do you make of that team, by the way, Rich?
Exciting. I was thinking about it just there. You'd kind of like, when you think about your Josh Cullen and Jason Malumbi in the centre of midfield, you almost wish that there was an experienced head in the middle there with them, particularly with the back three as it is, or perhaps a back four. Like, I don't know. Like, you can be as hopeful as you like going into these things. The next 90 minutes will bear everything out. But I will say, further to Stewie's point, there's been a cockiness about that Serbian setup this week that is there for the exploiting tonight, particularly from the manager, Dragan Stojkovic, who can be cocky himself because he's probably the best footballer the country's ever produced, but he's not necessarily the best manager. And he has decided to drop some really expensive, really high-performing players and put them on the bench, possibly in reserve for that game with Portugal. So there is something to be had from this game, given the starting 11 that Serbia put out tonight.
No, really interesting, some of the names on their bench. I mean, does, as Nathan said, suggest they have an eye on Portugal and Azerbaijan to come, and taking us a touch for granted, we hope. Where do you want to start? What do you want to bring us?
Yeah, elsewhere in the group tonight, in Ireland's group, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo starts and captains Portugal at home to Azerbaijan. Wales begin their Group E campaign tonight away to Belgium, while the Netherlands' hopes of making the finals have gotten off to a rotten start. Frank de Boer's side lost 4-2 away to Turkey in Group G this evening. It hasn't been a good opening day for the Irish on the WGC match play in Austin. Shane Lowry lost his first Group 11 match 4-2 to Ryan Palmer. Earlier, Rory McIlroy found a swimming pool with his tee shot at the fifth en route to a 6-5 defeat to Ian Poulter. The English golfer was asked if he noticed anything different about McIlroy's game today after he started working with Pete Cowan.
You know, obviously, you know, Pete's going to be, you know, working exclusively with Rory on his game. I think there's a couple of areas of his game which, you know, I'm sure he wants to kind of firm up a little bit. And obviously, you know, he missed a couple of tee shots left. And from that point, you know, he was trying to hit a kind of a bit of a hold up cut. But, you know, it's Rory, you know, it doesn't take a lot for Rory to spark up pretty quickly. And, you know, I wasn't surprised with anything. I just felt that I'd done a, you know, pretty decent job of putting him under pressure. I made it difficult for him.
Yeah, interesting. McIlroy didn't speak to the press afterwards. Very rare he's done that. Maybe an insight into how fed up he is at the moment. But we'll see how he goes tomorrow. He can still qualify for the knockout stages in this tournament, and he has won it before, so we'll see what he might muster up tomorrow. Sam Bennett then, Rich?
Another good day for him. He claimed a first ever victory in a one-day World Tour event. The Waterford sprinter claimed the classic Brugge di Panna in Belgium. Bennett says the layout of today's finish, though, made things tricky for him.
I was a little bit nervous today. There was just too many yellow poles and brick walls and footsteps coming up for a bunch sprint like that. Like, it's a big race. It's an important race, and everybody wants to be there. And you have a lot of riders under pressure, and we all want to get a result. And you don't need that in the final. But yep. But still, it was a great day and a great race today.
So the Irish men in action this evening. Kickoff against Serbia is in 20 minutes. Live commentary here on Off the Ball. If you're just tuning in, the Irish women in action next month, Rich.
Yeah, they've confirmed two friendlies for the Irish women's team next month ahead of the World Cup qualifying campaign, which gets underway later this year. Fir Pau side are going to take on Denmark at home on April 8th before an away trip to Belgium 3 days later. Pau named her squad for those games today. 32 players named in it in all, and Stephanie Roach and Claire Shine are among those earning recalls. At Chelsea have taken a positive step towards the semis of the Women's Champions League. They got a 2-1 win in the first leg of their last day tie against the 2020 runners-up Wolfsburg. Manchester City's hopes of progressing have been dealt a blow, though, with a 3-0 defeat to Barcelona in the away leg of their quarter-final. Lyon got the better of an all-French affair this evening, beating Paris Saint-Germain by 1-0. And Bayern Munich are currently 3-0 to the good with 23 minutes to go of their first leg with Rosengard. Romain Entemac starts at half for France in their Six Nations showdown with Scotland on Friday night. He replaces the injured Mathieu Jalabert. That's one of five changes from their win over Wales, with Arthur Vincent named in the centre. Second row duo Bernard Leroux and Swan Rabage come in for Romain Taillefino and the suspended Paul Willemse. The other change sees Anthony Allonge come in for Dylan Crotin in the back row. Finn Russell starts at half for Scotland, having missed their win over Italy with a concussion, so Stuart Hogg reverts to fullback. Glasgow scrum half Ali Price forms a halfback partnership with Russell, and Scott Steele drops to the bench. Elsewhere, Chris Harris comes in for Hugh Jones at outside centre, with the latter among the replacements.
Gavin says, three at the back, you hardly want two sitting midfielders as well. Well, I might, Gavin. To be honest, I might. Let's see how we go. Let's not go crazy first 10 minutes anyway. Lads, keep a eye on Vlahovic up front. He's been brilliant for Fiorentina recently, says somebody. And then JP can't work out if this texter has been sarcastic or actually just really wishing on Ireland well. Delighted with the team. He obviously trusts the lads. I'm really looking forward to this game. Ole, ole, ole. Kieran in Galway. I'm giving him the benefit
ole,
of the
ole,
doubt.
Yeah. The ole, ole throws us off. I'm going with a hopeful and genuinely enthusiastic Kieran in Galway. Look, there.
If we can't be hopeful now at 7:26 ahead of the first game against Serbia, then when can we be? Because it could be a long couple of months to September if this doesn't go to plan. We'll be back over to Stewie and Nathan before kickoff for some final thoughts on the team. Where are you bringing us next?
To Manchester, Nicky Butt to step down as Manchester United's head of first team development to pursue a new professional challenge, he says. The Premier League club's former midfielder spent 9 years in coaching roles at the academy, and he helped bring on homegrown talent likes of Marcus Rashford, Scott McTominay and Mason Greenwood in recent seasons, while former FIFA President Sepp Blatter and ex-Secretary General Jerome Valk have both been given further bans from football for 6.5 years. They were found guilty of various breaches of the organisation's code of ethics, with some relating to misuse of money for personal gain. The bans will start when their current ones expire, so that means Blatter can't work in football until 2028. And Valk will not be involved until 2032.
When presumably more bans of some sort are unleashed upon them. And just to finish, I was about to say we're out of time, and we are out of time. But look, at it's 1996 all over again here. This is beautiful.
This is glorious. Yeah, it is. Old foes Steve Hendry and Jimmy White have been drawn together in the first round of qualifiers for the World Snooker Championship. The pair met in 4 finals, most of them classics, at the Crucible during the 90s. And 1997 champion Kent Doherty will take on Lee Walker in round one, while there's a battle of the Fergals with veteran O'Brien facing 20-year-old Quinn. Limerick's Leo Fernandez will play Fraser Patrick, and the Welsh Open winner Jordan Brown will enter at the third round stage, while his fellow Ulsterman Gerard Green comes in at round two.
Rich, thanks a mil. Much obliged. Richie McCormick there with the news round. Short ad break, back with some more thoughts from Nathan and Stewie. Live commentary of Serbia, Republic of Ireland this evening, coming your way.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.